Revelation tonight, chapter 12. In our study of the second coming of Christ, we've looked in Revelation. Tonight we look at seven personages described in chapter 12 and 13. We won't get all the way into chapter 13, most likely. We've seen the message to the seven churches of Asia Minor that the book of Revelation was addressed to, and the seven candlesticks representing the churches, and the seven sealed book. We've seen the judgments that were read out of the early chapters of Revelation. Chapter 8, the seven seals. There are seven angels. There are seven trumpets. And now we're looking at chapter 12 and 13 at seven personages. I'll start reading with chapter 12, verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as of a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Father, as we look into your word tonight, help us to have understanding of these truths in your word, and to have the application to our lives that will strengthen us and help us, and helps to see that you are all-powerful and you know exactly what's going to transpire. And the events that will be revealed to us, you have made known through the Scriptures. We're thankful for that. We're thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. The woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and the crown upon her head with 12 stars. And the great dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and the man child that is born to the woman, and Michael, the archangel of heaven that has war with Satan, and the remnant of the nation of Israel. In chapter 13, we go to the personages of the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth. But we'll look at the first of these tonight. The woman clothed with the sun. Now, many have tried to force an interpretation out of this passage of Scripture. The Christian Science denomination was founded by a woman by the name of Mary Baker Glover Patterson Eddy. And the reason she had all those names is because she had that many husbands. And she claimed that she was the woman, and the Christian Science religion was the nation that it is referring to. But we know that's certainly not true. The Roman Catholic Church says this is the Virgin Mary, and that the painting of the Spanish artist Murillo, called The Mystery of the Immaculate Conception, painted the woman clothed with the sun as being Mary. But certainly Mary gave birth to our Lord Jesus, but the reference is not to Mary, but to the nation of Israel. Numerous Protestant churches that are amillennial, that do not believe in the thousand-year kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, confuse the church and Israel, and they try to replace Israel with the church, and so they think the New Testament church is the emphasis that is given here. Well, we know when we read through these passages and let the Bible explain itself and let Scripture interpret Scripture, it's pretty obvious that the nation of Israel is the reference here, and it is through the nation of Israel that Christ came, and Christ was ascended back into heaven on the throne of God, and he will come again and receive us unto himself. Now, the expression that is used here for the 12 tribes, referring to the nation of Israel, was used by Joseph when he dreamed, and he shared that with his father in the book of Genesis, how that he had a dream and he saw the sun and the moon and the stars, and they bowed down to him, and that was a reference to Jacob and his wife and the children who would bow to Joseph when Joseph became the ruler down in Egypt, and God used him to preserve the nation of Israel in that day. And so there's a visual here to see, to have some understanding. Now, the focus on Israel has changed in the world from a lack of a nation in any kind of formal setting. In 1948, they became a nation again, and they inherited their land back after World War II, and have set up a government, and now everybody knows where Israel is, and everybody either has an opinion about Israel, either they are in favor because of the Bible of Israel, or they're opposed to them, as all the nations around them are, that will one day be a source of a great war against them. Now, the Revelation 7 shows the 144,000 Jews that will be saved and become evangelistic in the tribulation period, 12,000 from each one of the 12 tribes, and they will reveal the gospel of Christ to the world. If you have a pencil and you want to make a note, I won't turn and read it, but it's Genesis 37 and verse 9 through 11. Genesis 37, verse 9 through 11, where Joseph revealed the dream to Jacob, and Jacob actually rebuked his son for this, saying, you know, you believe that your mother and I are going to bow down to you. And Jacob had no idea the fulfillment of that prophecy of how it took place, but it certainly did. And so this issue, revealing the nation of Israel, Israel was to be the light of the world, and they failed in that respect. The New Testament teaches that Christ is the light of the world and that his followers are the light of the world. And so with the gospel message, we share the light of the gospel to people so they might see the light of the gospel and be saved. Now, Abraham's promise was an involvement for the whole earth. It's through Abraham that all nations of the earth would be blessed. In Genesis chapter 12, the promise was given, because it was through Abraham's descendants, the nation of Israel, that the Messiah would come. And the 12 stars are 12 tribes. Reuben means a son, the first of the 12 tribes. Simeon means hearing. Levi means joined together. Judah means praise. Dan means God is my judge. Naphtali was wrestling. Gad is a troop. Asher means happy. Issachar was her hire. She got her hire through Issachar, the tribe. Zebulun means dwelling. And Joseph means adding. Benjamin was the son of my right hand, the baby of the family. So Christ came through the nation of Israel and was long waited for, as it says in verse number 2, she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. The nation of Israel waited for all these years for the Messiah to come. Galatians tells us it was in the fullness of time that God sent forth his son, made of a woman. And then the great dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. He is red because he is stained with blood, from the innocent blood of Abel, slain by his brother Cain, to all the murders and shedding of blood that has taken place because of Satan down through the centuries. Verse 9 reveals his various titles. The old serpent, he's referred to that because he was in the garden and dwelt the serpent to tempt Eve. The devil, he is an enemy. Satan, the slanderer, he's a deceiver. He has heads and crowns upon his heads, and that symbolization is found in Dan, in the book of Daniel, chapter 7 through 11, as the 10 nations of the old Roman Empire that came to power, that will come back to power in these last days. Antichrist will rise to power over 3 of them, and the other nations will follow him and make war against Israel and seek to destroy them. Now, there's a great wonder in heaven, a sign, a wonder. The stars that the angels refers to in verse 7, there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast under the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, the Bible says his tail drew a third of the stars. And that is, in the Greek language, is an aorist indicative, which it's read as if it's a present action taking place, but it is something that has happened in the past. And Satan, in his fall, caused these other angels to fall from their position as well. Remember, Herod sought to destroy the Christ, and he killed the male children up to 2 years of age when Jesus was born. And Herod wanted to kill the Christ. Satan is a murderer. The book of John, chapter 8, verse 44, says he was a murderer from the beginning. He tempted Cain to slay his brother. and commit the first murder. In Genesis 6, the pollution of the human race became so bad that God destroyed it with the flood of Noah's day. The Egyptian destruction of Israel before Moses was raised up as a deliverer is that they were killing all of the male children. Pharaoh had the midwives to drown the baby boys in the Nile River so that their population would be cut back, lest Israel flourishing under God's blessing would unite with their enemies and turn against them. We see the destruction of the Babylonians and the Assyrians and other nations against Israel. Haman was one who wanted to destroy all the Jews in the land in the book of Esther. And he built a gallows in his own yard. And he would have hung all the Jews in the realm. But God turned that thing around and he was hung on his own gallows. And when they celebrate the Feast of Purim among the Jewish people, they play the game hangman. And they hang Haman on his own gallows in that situation. Esther 3, verse 8 through 15. We know Herod's decree of seeking to destroy Christ. And we know that it was under Rome that Christ was crucified. Christ is the man child that came through the nation of Israel. Certainly, if you read this, it's pretty obvious. And if you read all of the scripture, not just a portion of it, it becomes clearer and clearer. In Psalm 2 and verse 9, the Bible says that Christ will rule the nations with a rod of iron. In the kingdom to come, before he sets up his kingdom, he will fight the battle of Armageddon. And he will destroy the nations that come against Israel in that day. Then he will set up his kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years. All of those who survive the tribulation period on the earth in their mortal human bodies will enter into the kingdom for the 1,000 years. And they may be able to live for the entire time period. The curse will be lifted from the earth. And so old age and death and disease and all those sort of things will be in submission. And even Satan himself will be chained in hell for 1,000 years during that time period. But the Lord's ruling upon the earth, men will still have a fallen human nature. And because of that, some will refuse to come to Jerusalem to worship, and he will rule over them and bring those things to pass. The governments want the benefits of a religious people. They like to keep people in line. They like to keep people in servitude. And they like to control men with morals. They like to keep down crime and violence, and religion can help with that. They like the idea of the benevolence. All the hospitals and all the universities and all the charitable organizations were originally started by the churches of the United States of America. As charitable organizations, all these things took place and brought about all the blessings upon people, which saves the government money with their tax and such not having to fund these things. They like it if we're non-judgmental. They like it if we are tolerant of them. As a matter of fact, that's about the one thing that the world likes about Christianity. They want us to be tolerant. They don't want us to be intolerant of their sin and of their lifestyle choices and that sort of thing. But they don't like to make the acknowledgement that Christ is the only means of salvation, and a person cannot go to heaven unless they come through Jesus Christ. They don't like that kind of a narrow viewpoint that the Bible gives that salvation is only provided through Christ. And so they also don't like the separation of sin that we believe the Bible teaches. Man wants a democracy where there are no absolutes, where the ruling powers or the larger majority can be their own determination of right and wrong. And you see, that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Satan tempted Eve. It's always been his temptation to us that we would act as our own God, that we would determine right from wrong, that we would declare what is right and what is wrong instead of God declaring what is right and what is wrong. And that is something that the Satan effectively still uses today to get people to refuse the absolutes of the Word of God and to set up their own rule of what is right and wrong. But a Christian doesn't live under a democracy. A Christian lives under a theocracy where Christ is Lord and we submit ourselves to Him, and the Bible is the absolute that teaches us what is right and what is wrong. One day Christ will rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and in that day men will understand His position. Now this aspect here in chapter 12, dealing with the nation of Israel and with Satan. Satan sought to destroy Christ, but Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead, providing redemption and defeating Satan. And He ascended into heaven to His Father. And from there He will come again. Now God prepares a place in the tribulation for the nation of Israel to flee for the 3.5 year period of safety, lest they would be destroyed. In Daniel chapter 11 in verse 40 through 45, the Bible speaks of Edom and Moab and Ammon's chief children escaping and how Egypt would not escape. In Isaiah 33, verse 14 through 22, believing Israel will dwell on high and have a defense of the rocks, and bread shall be given to them, and they shall be supplied what they need. God will make a place for them in the tribulation where they shall flee, and they shall be protected and be fed there. Because when the Antichrist comes to power and forces men to receive his mark, men will not be allowed to buy and sell in that economy without the mark. But all who receive the mark will be damned. And so for Israel to be able to buy and sell and survive, God provides a place of refuge for them. In the same way that God has provided a place of refuge for you in Jesus Christ. Now these personages, the great wonder in heaven, and the great red dragon, and the child that is born, and then in verse 7, war in heaven between Michael the archangel and Satan. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. Many of the 144,000 will die as a result of their testimony of Christ and their refusal to cooperate with the Antichrist in that day. And they overcame him in the same way that we overcome him, by the blood of the Lamb. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus that we overcome Satan. And they loved not their lives to the death. Now Israel brings forth this man child. And the great dragon is Satan, who's going to be cast out of heaven. Sometimes people refer to the devil in hell. But the devil's not in hell today. During the kingdom, he'll be chained in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. But right now, he has access to the throne of God. And there he accuses the brethren before God day and night. He accuses us when we sin. He accuses us when we fail to do everything that we ought to do. And he mocks before God how his people fail as they do, and accuses us day and night before the throne of God. But his day is limited, and the time is coming. And we also have a defender, the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes intercession for us before the throne of God day and night. And he's there on our behalf. And he pleads his sacrifice and his blood and his righteousness for his people and for his church. Now, Satan's character is that of a deceiver. He is more subtle than any other. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He has always desired to be worshipped like God. But in truth, he's vile. And he is vicious, and he is ferocious, and he is a murderer, and a liar, and diabolical in his plans of attack to destroy men. Satan means adversary, and he's that roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he can devour. As the devil, he is Diabolos, the slanderer, who accuses us before the throne day and night. He tempts men by alluring them to sin, seeking their destruction. He's the deceiver of all the world. He's behind all false religion, idolatry, cults, every false teaching. He is behind it all. He has no conscience. He has no pity. He has no sympathy. The Bible says in John chapter 8, Jesus describing him, that he is a liar and there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He sows seeds of lust and doubt and pride and blinds men's minds, lest they focus on the light of the gospel of Christ and be saved. Now he has great power. He rules in this present world in which we live. He rules as the prince of the power of the air. Look back at Ephesians 2 with me if you would.